Parshas Mishpatim is a parsha that really is a big break from everything that we've learned up until this point in the Torah, from Bereishis through Parshas Yisro. Basically, we've been following stories. There have been little bit of pockets of halachos and mitzvos here and there, most notably, of course, Aseres HaDibros last week in Yisro, of course, in Bo as well, the beginning of the Jewish people receiving Dvar Hashem, the commandment of Achodesh Selachem Rosh Chodashim, the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, and then we come to Mishpatim. And Mishpatim really is a radical break from everything that we find before. You can notice that when you just look at the Rashis on Mishpatim, you know, people that do Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum, reading the Rashis each week, you know, up until this point it's okay. Then you get to Mishpatim, and you're just like learning all of Bava Kama and Bava Metzia in these Rashis. And it's a wipeout. If you don't get wiped out by Mishpatim, you get wiped out next week in Truma. When it talks about architecture. What? Parsha dessert. Oh, Parsha desserts. I'm sorry. I was never Yored Latoch, the sugya of Parsha desserts, really. But Elam Mishpatim is really something that's very different. And of course, many of the Mefarshim discuss this concept of Elam Mishpatim Esher Tosim Lefnehem. Why is it that after Kabbalah Satorah, after the resetting of the world, after creation 2.0 in the Aseres HaDibros, paralleling the Asara Mamara Shinivar Ba'amolam, the world is recreated, and what is in this great gift that Hashem gives us? Parshas Mishpatim. The most boring parsha that we've read so far in the Torah, right? I'm saying that's really what it is. And the question is why. The Lubavitcher Rebbe makes it even a sharper question when he points out that we know there are three types of mitzvos. They're chukim. Chukim are the mitzvos that make no sense. They're totally irrational. Even when we are explaining the mitzvos, we're like, huh? Still don't get it. Then there are the eidos. Eidos are mitzvos. This is a category people don't talk about a lot. The Lubavitcher Rebbe points out many places where we find this terminology used in describing mitzvos. Eidos are mitzvos that we wouldn't think of on our own, but once they're explained to us, like, oh, that makes sense. And then, of course, there are the mishpatim. The mishpatim are the mitzvos sechlios, the mitzvos that make the most sense. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe says that right after Kabbalah Satorah, right after this lofty experience of HaKadosh Baruch Hu opening up the heavens, coming down to the earth, the voice of God speaking to us, and this is what it's about. This is really what it's about. And, of course, the Vav in the beginning of this week's parsha is what Rashi jumps on right away. Ve'ela ha-mishpatim asher tosim lefnehem. Why does it say ve'ela, and these are the rules, these are the laws that you shall place in front of them? Kamakum shenemer ele pasal esarishonim, Rashi says, page 416, mamsh, the first Rashi in the parsha, ve'ela mosif al harishonim. That the vav of a ve'eles tells us maharishonim misinai af elu misinai. Rashi quoting the Mechilta tells us, just as the Aseres HaDibros were given at Sinai, so too ve'ela hamishpatim were given at Sinai. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, what's one of the, he has like four different ideas connected to this, but he says one of the very important lessons, of course, of Ve'ela Mishpatim, that these are from Sinai, it's very similar to the idea why Pirkei Avos starts off with Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Why does Pirkei Avos start off with Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai? What's the classic Torah? On why does Pirkei Avos start off Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai? Because when you read Pirkei Avos, which is an interestingly enough in Seder Nezikin, which is what Parshas Mishpatim is essentially about, Nezikin, right? You would read Pirkei Avos and you would say, "What is this? This is a nice book of wisdom. This is a nice book of ancient sayings. This is a nice book of ideals and morals. It's very nice." Moshe Kibel Torah Sinai to teach us, no, that Pirkei Avos isn't just stam nice aphorisms in Judaism. Pirkei Avos is Torah. It's Torah. This is Hashkafas HaTorah. We know Rav Albi and Ale Shor points out that he says there are four yesodos of building a Torah personality, four things a person has to learn. One of the four things, he says, is Pirkei Avos. says to develop a Torah personality, you have to be an expert in Pirkei Avos. He recommends learning it with Rabbeinu Yonah, right? But he says the limud of Pirkei Avos is not nice things. It is Torah. It's not just a nice system of ethics. It's Torah's hashkafa. And so too, Lubavitcher Rebbe says, when we come to the Eilam Shpatim, a person might think that these things make sense. These are part of Rousseau's social contract, right? That the world shouldn't tear itself to pieces. So these are nice things that make sense to by which we can run a moral and just society. Lubavitcher Rebbe says, Ve'ela ha'mishpatim. Ve'ela ha'mishpatim means that these are from Sinai, that these are given by God. And he says, why is that so important to point out dafka by the mishpatim? That right after this wondrous, wondrous experience of Kabbalas HaTorah, the first thing we talk about are the laws that are sichli, the laws that are logical, that are rational, that make so much sense. He says, because if you're going to keep these things because they make sense, he says, you're going to corrupt them. You're going to corrupt them. He says, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, the laws that really define interpersonal relationships has to be objectively God-given. Because if you're going to say, oh, these are the laws that make sense, he says a human being can twist and turn and distort human logic and rational morals into things that make no sense. But the human mind says it makes a ton of sense. And so Lubavitcher Rebbe says that we have to understand that this comes from the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's why the end of the pasuk is Asher Tosim Lefnehem. And if you look at Rashi says, what does Lefnehem mean? Lefnehem velo Lefne Goyim, a Gemara Gittin Peches Amud Beis, that you have to go to deal with these laws, these cases, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, in front of a Bezdin. Don't go in front of a non-Jewish court. Don't go to a secular court. What's the Hava mean of going to a secular court? Because you'll say, what do you mean? It's logical, moral, rational laws. So what's the difference between what it says in the Torah Kedosha versus what it says in the American law books, which is based a little bit on the British system? America is, Moshe says, a Medina Shel Chesed, like I'll quote it, Medina Shel Chesed, so the laws of America are also moral, they make sense. So I'll go to a court of law when I have a monetary dispute with a fellow Jew. Zok de Hela Garashi from the Gemara in Gittin, no, Lefneim velo Lefne Goyim. Lefneim velo Lefne Goyim. Rav Avadi Yosef says in one of his Tshuvas in Yabia Omer that we have a bracha in Shmona Esrei that talks about it. Hashiva Shoftenu Kvarishona, Viatzenu Kvatchila, Vahasir Mimenu Yagon Vanacha. In a bracha for the restoration of Jewish justice, we say, remove from us suffering and torment, emotional, psychological torment. Why? Because when we live based on a system that not the Torah HaKadosha, we're not going to be whole, we're not going to find the great fulfillment in Simchas HaChaim that a person has from keeping Torah, from living a life of Torah. And in Hashiva Shoftenu Kvarishona, Rav Avadia says that it's integral to, he talks about Medinat Yisrael, he editorializes a little in the Tshuva where he says that in Medinat Yisrael, because what they're doing is not necessarily based upon the laws of the Torah, and he makes some very bold statements. Of course, he has all the Chazals to back them up, that, Eretz Yisrael will only fully be ours, will only be fully protected, will only be fully secure when the Torah HaKadosha is our guide. And Mamash, it's a bracha in Shmona Esrei every day. And this is what the Lubavitcher Rebbe is pointing out, Ve'ilam Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lefneim, I think is similar limud to Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, that we have to ultimately recognize that we keep the mitzvos because we believe in Hashem. Because Hashem told us to keep the mitzvahs. We don't keep the mitzvahs because they make sense. We keep the mitzvahs because it's a Dvar Hashem, it's a Tzivui Hashem. And that will protect us when we believe we're so cultured and we believe we're so moral and society is so arrogant and high on itself that it's the epitome of human development, that we're so understanding and we're so pluralistic and everything is good and nothing is bad. And we see what society can become. There's no question There are many tzaddikim who write, the Lubavitcher Rebbe himself writes, that you understand what a chash of a thing b'shaito, the UN was, at the time they formed the UN, that the nations of the world erect this big, big edifice in New York City and put on a psukim of Tanakh, seeking out peace. He said that be'ikaron, he saw in the development of the United Nations really a movement towards Yemos HaMashiach. But at the same time, we know what he told Bibi Netanyahu when Bibi was ambassador to the UN, that what had such potential has become a pack of liars and a den of thieves. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe had very, very harsh words towards the UN. And that's exactly the point, that we can't fool ourselves into looking at other systems and saying, oh, this is moral, this is good. Right away, this is what dictates the life of a Jew. That's why it follows right after Kabbalah Satorah. You're right, shotness is only coming from God. Who else is going to make up shotness? Another one, I think it's really from God because cheeseburgers seem to be very, very popular. I mean, ask a great chef like Chef Seth Shlom Zalman, and he'll tell you, Rabbeinu, cooking anything that's meat, poultry, without butter is like a sin in the world of real cooking. You know what I mean? So, you know, clearly those are God-given. Lo sigzel, don't steal. That also is from God. Right? Lo sigzel, what do you mean? What, it makes sense? I should go and be able to take your pen? I'm saying, how does society function? No, you're right. There seems to be rational thought to it, but we don't do it because God said. Right? And again, in the past 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, 10 years, things that might have been seen as defined in a certain way, society has just totally moved the markers. Totally, totally moved the markers, you know? And so this is something that Eila Mishpatim Asher Tassim Lufnehem, this is a parsha that's so important to Lubavitcher Rebbe. There's so many sichas about this. The Rebbe spoke about this so many times, even in a book that I have that is just a synopsis of some of the greatest sichas. The first four are all about the same yisod of the Eila Mishpatim, that the Rebbe saw that this was a great challenge to a Jew today in the world, to understand that Torah mitzvos is kept because of Devar Hashem, and not because of our intellect. And that's why there would be a Yetzahara to just go to a secular court. Why not? The answer is why not? Because they might be moral, they might be wonderful, but they don't have Devar Hashem. It's not based upon Devar Hashem, and that's what we look to. At the same time, when we look at Parshas Mishpatim, Rabbi Tzvi Hirschweinreb and many, many others also point out another major, major yesod. And this is something we've spoken about so many times. My brother-in-law, when he was here for Shabbos, Rav Judah, he spoke about it. And we've said that this is what some might consider the greatest, greatest single difference between the system of living as a Jew and the system of living as an American in the 21st century. Do you remember what the distinction was? Rights versus responsibilities. The Eila HaMishpatim Asher Tassim Lefnehem. You know what this whole parsha is about? You know what this whole parsha is about? This is all mitzvahs, right? Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. If you talk about interpersonal relationships based upon constitutional law, what do you talk about? You talk about the right freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of religion, that for the right to bear arms, right? America is a country that's built on rights, and I'm not saying that is wrong. It's obviously right to have rights, but Judaism has a very, very different perspective. It's not about rights. Judaism is about responsibility. And when you look at the Eila Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lefnehem, that is the overwhelming theme. That's the overarching principle that you find almost throughout the entire parsha. Obviously, there are the exceptions. Obviously, there are the things that are a little bit off and they don't necessarily find that. And there are other themes running in the Parsha. Certainly when the end of the Parsha connects back to Kabbalah Satorah, we've spoken about Yitzchak Tursky and Amita Shel Torah's ideas about, you know, the bookends of Yisro and the end of Mishpatim and how all the laws fit in. And of course, that you know, this fits in with Rabbi Tversky's theme. We pointed out that what was the chait of Adam and Chava? The chait of Adam and Chava was what? That they wanted to define what was good and bad. Eitz hadas tov hara, you eat it, you'll be like God, because that they wanted to be able to be God-like. We want to define what's good and bad, not God. Ve'ilam shpotim esher tasam lufneim means, no, Hashem's going to define what's good and bad, even things that are rational, even things that are sichli. But when you look through this parsha, you see that there are responsibilities, yes. You know, when you talk about the first one, the first mitzvah in the parsha, mamish, what's the parsha? What's the first mitzvah we come to? Slavery. And you think you have someone that's a slave. Slave is I own a person. I do whatever I want to that person, right? No. You have responsibilities to a slave. The slave has rights. You have responsibilities to a person you buy. Can you imagine? You have responsibilities to this person. And continue on. You buy a maid. Right? You have responsibilities to that young woman that you bought as a maid. When you talk about responsibilities and how we use our speech, right? The freedom of expression, free speech. You read this parsha, you realize free speech. Mekalel avav v'ima mos yumas. Just like make mos yumas, mekalel mos yumas. There's no such thing as free speech. Torah says it's not true. Especially a person that continues on reading the Torah, a person would say this free speech. You would argue that speech is one of the things that is so carefully circumscribed by the Torah Kedosha. Every word of a Torah Jew is measured. Every word you have to think, can I say this, can I not say this? Is this l'toeles? Is this for benefit someone? Am I just gossiping? There's no such thing as free speech. The Torah rejects free speech. Absolutely not. And we know that in the United States, this is such a struggle. Look at what happened this past year. When neo-Nazis, under the banner of free speech, coming together in public spaces, declaring horrific things, that's free speech. That's the rights of the Constitution. Does that make any sense? And that's exactly what the Lubavitcher Rebbe would tell you. Ve'elam shpatim, you're right, that a person has the ability to share their thoughts and to be able to speak up, and no one's voice should be silenced. But you have a responsibility how to use your speech. No, you can't just have free speech. You don't just say what you want whenever you want it. And this is something that, when it's coming dafka, the parsha right after Kabbalah Satorah, to teach us this yisod, that Torah is about responsibility. And of course, that's really what I say so often. I quote from the Hakdamah of Rabbi Yitzhak Velazhiner to the Nefesh HaChaim, right? What did Rabbi Yitzhak Velazhiner write about his father, Rabbi Chaim Velazhiner? The Hakdamah to the Nefesh HaChaim, he writes a short biography about his father, Rabbi Chaim Velazhiner, one of the great Talmidim of the Gaon. And Rabbi Yitzhak Velazhiner says, Margula befume da'avi. The jewel that was always in my father's mouth. What would Reb Chaim Velazhiner say to his children and students all the time? Da lo la'atzmecha nivres. Know, K-N-O-W, know that you were not created for yourself. Lo nivres ha'odam ela lehoil la'achrini. A human being was only created to help other people. That's where Rabbi Yitzhak Velazhiner writes, was Margala Bafume Daviv. That was the jewel that was in his father's mouth. That's what his father would always say. It was his father's phrase, right? Think about what are the phrases your kids are going to say. Ah, she already, all your friends are going to say, oh, what, you know. I don't know, I'm afraid to ask my kids, what does Abba always say, you know? It's a good question. But this is what Rabbi Chaim Velazhiner would often say. Do you understand that's Mamish Parshas Mishpatim? That right after Kabbalah Satorah comes, the Parsha teaching you that even your animals have responsibilities. Don't just say, oh, it's animals, right? You're responsible for your animal does. You're responsible for what your kid does, possibly. It's all Dian in the Gemara. Right? That's what Mamash Reb Chaim V'lajner would say. And really, of course, that's one of the most famous stories about Tu B'Shvat. I know we didn't have a chance to learn about Tu B'Shvat together, but come on, what's perhaps the most famous story of Tu B'Shvat? Come on. Okay, now no one wants to guess, because I'm going to say no, and you're like, oh man, that's a... I always thought one of the most famous stories about Tu B'Shvat, maybe just because they always give you boxer, is the story of Choni Amagil. And he sees a person planting a tree. And he says, why are you planting that tree? That tree isn't going to bear fruit for how long? For 70 years. And what's his answer? I'm planting it for others. I'm planting it for my children and grandchildren should have. What, we only do in this world for... Of course not. Lo la'atzmecha nivres. Lo nivres ha'adam. Ela la'hova la'achrini. One of the most important messages of Tu B'Shvat is that it's for other, and that's why when we had the Tu B'Shvat tish with the Seder with the children, the story I told them was that the peiros on Tu B'Shvat is not only the apple, it's not only orange, it's the mitzvahs that you do. It's the Torah that you learn. It's the tzedakah that you give. Those are your fruits. Your fruits are how you're fixing the world and how you're bringing tikkun to other people. And this, I think, is such an important message. This is the yisod of Parshas Mishpatim. This is why Parshas Mishpatim comes right after Kabbalah Satorah. The message of Kabbalah Satorah is lo la'atzmecha nivres, lo nivres ha'adam, elo la'hoi la'achrini. And why do you think it was so imperative? This is what Chazal tell us, that we experience something like a Shibud Mitzrayim. In what way was Shibud Mitzrayim the Kur HaBarzel? In what way was Shibud Mitzrayim the smelting fire for the Jewish people to purify us? In what way were we purified by our experience in Mitzrayim? So it's something that you find more than once in this week's Parsha. And of course, I can't find it right now. There are two times in this week's Parsha, a mitzvah that seems to be very similar, that what are we told? We're told not to oppress the ger, not to. Right? V'ger lo sona v'lo silchatzena ki gerim hayisem be'eretz Mitzrayim. Chaf beis, chaf. Chaf beis chaf. And it's repeated, and it's also before. But the idea, ki gerim hayisem be'eretz Mitzrayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, that you know what the experience in the Kor HaBarzel of Egypt was? How to treat other people. That was the Kor HaBarzel in Egypt. That was the Kor HaBarzel in Egypt. To use your words responsibly. To use your actions responsibly. To think of others. Mamish, lo la'atzmecha nivres, lo nivres ha'adam la'achlin rini. And that's why, classically, when we introduce someone to Limud HaGemara, now it's become in vogue to start with the fourth parak of Brachos for a variety of reasons. But back in Europe, what did they always start with? And some places still start with Bab Metziah, Eilu Metzias. Why Eilu Metzias? To teach you, when you see a lost object on the road, you have a responsibility to the person that lost that. You have a responsibility to the person that lost that object. Do you know there's an Isser in the Torah that when you see a lost object, you're not allowed to hide your eyes? You have responsibility. Adkadekach, I remember in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, there was a guy who was making himself a little crazy. He'd see someone, like on the way to Minyan in the morning, he'd see someone's sock. Okay, whose sock is this? You know, see someone's, whose is this? Like, I mean, that we had to have a shmooze about the laws of Hashavas Aveda, because otherwise you can make yourself crazy. Right? You could walk around public places all day picking things up, right? Any school, lost and found, right? Spend all day trying to return lost objects. But do you understand? That's why you start learning Eilu Metzias. That's why there was a minig of starting Eilu Metzias, to teach young children that you have a responsibility to others. Yes. It's not about you, babala. Right? It's about others. And that's why Lubavitcher Rebbe is such a beautiful idea. By the way, you should know, he says also that when we, another, remember I said that he has like many pshatim as why the elam pshatim? So one of the yisodos also is not only out us that we should keep Torah, even the mitzvah sichlius, the logical, rational mitzvahs, because of Dvar Hashem, but he says we put the logical, rational mitzvahs right after Kabbalah Satorah. You know what else to teach us? that don't think you understand this mitzvah. There's so much depth to mitzvahs. The mitzvah of lo sigzel, don't steal. You think, of course, it doesn't make sense that I can't. Do you know how much amkus there is in lo sigzel? Depth. There's so much depth in these things. And he brings one example, beautiful example. In this week's parsha, we have this parshas of the Dalet Shomrim. It's Perakov Beis Pasuk Vav. Ki yitein ish al reyo kesef okelu l'mishmar v'gunam b'beis ha'ish. Right? So we read this section that there are, how many Shomrim are there? There are four types of Shomrim. We know that Arba Shomrim, Dalet Shomrim. Again, this is Baba Kama. This is Nezikin. If you read through the Parsha, you'll see there are four types of Shomer. They are the Shomer Chinam, the person who's a guard, a watchman for free, he doesn't take any pay. There's the Shomer Sachar, there's the paid guard. There is the Socher, the renter. And then there is the Shoel, the borrower. Those are known as the Dalet Shomrim. Lavav Shrebi Zokt from originally, you know, from an idea in the Tanya, that every person in this world is a Shomer. It makes sense that there are different types of guardians, right? And you should know, Mamish, there's so much Torah. Okay, there's so much to say about here. One time they say Meiser Baron Soloveitchik, when he would sit in front of the main Beis Medrash in YU when it was the same building as MTA, now they built a new Beis Medrash. So one time, the MTA kid didn't know who he was. He walked in, and he saw this old man there. He says, "Can you watch my bag?" Mm-hmm. And Rabaron Soloveitchik says, Wait, am I a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Sachar? What do you want? And he's like, I don't know, what's the difference? Well, are you paying me to watch your bag? And he says, no, I'm a Shomer Chinam. And if something happens, I'm Potter. Wait, what does that mean, you're Potter? Like, Nirvana was like giving this MTA kid a whole shiur on the Dalet Shomer. Rav Shrevi says that's another thing. That why you have these, Mamish, I told you, we can spend the whole day just on the Ve'elam Mishpatim. Right? The Bava Cherebi says, why are these the halmitzvahs that come right after Kabbalah Satorah? Don't think that connecting to God means leaving this world. Ve'elam Mishpatim means connecting to God is in this world. It's through all of these things. That's how you connect to God. Yes, by asking an old man, can you watch my bag? You're connecting to God. And understanding, what's the status of this old man? Is it when you have a conversation, when you're texting someone, and you think, wait, can I say this? Should I say this? Should I not say this? You're connecting to God. Connecting to Hashem doesn't mean leaving this world. The Elam Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lufneya means, Moshe, teach them that connecting to me is in this world in a very deep way, through everything. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, we're all Shomrim. We're all Shomrim. What are we Shomrim for? What are we Shomrim for? Come on, Ariana. Avram Chaim, muscle and tani with you a little, right? No? Right? No, you know this. No. That we're Shomrim of the Chelak Elokami Mal Mamish. That inside each and every one of us is, I mean, they say Mamish, but then they always say Kaviyachal, is a spark of God. And every human being is a Shomer, we're a guardian over that spark of God that's inside of us. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe quotes from the Shla HaKadosh, the Shnei Luchos HaBris, Rabbi Shaya Halevi Horowitz. The Shla HaKadosh says that the Arba Shomrim, the Dalet Shomrim, the four Shomrim, the four types of people in this world. He says the highest level is the Shomer Chinam. I mean, just we're taking a very sichli mitzvah, we're taking a very rational mitzvah, and we're just showing you the Amkos. We're showing you the beauty, the incredible, incredible lessons and depth in a very simple mitzvah. And a mitzvah that seems to be very, very mundane, very, very pedantic. We're showing you there's so much depth in this mitzvah. And he says, well, who's a Shomer Chinam? A Shomer Chinam is a person who's guarding that spark and is serving God for no reward. The person doesn't want reward, meaning why is a person serving God? Out of Ava, out of love of Hashem, Mamsh, the highest level. I just want to be connected to you. I'm guarding this. This is all I want to do. I don't need pay. The fact that I'm guarding it is the pay. The fact that I have this Chelik al Kami Mal Mamish is it. That's it. Then there's another level. There's a Shomer Sacher, a paid guardian. Why is that person watching it? Why? Because there's an Olam Haba. Because there's an Olam Haba. He's not involved in Olam Hazeh. Again, focused on the Neshama Shenasata Bitori, focused on that Chelak El Kami Mal Mamish. But why is that individual serving God and guarding that soul? Because There's a word, ki yesachar lufoseich nu mashem, right? Because elu dvarim shadam olcha perasem balam azev, akern keim salam abo. There's a reward. And then comes the socher, the renter. Vas meint the renter? The renter wants to enjoy this world. It's not about, meaning the person is going to guard that chelak el kami mal mamish, right? But why? Because, as the Ramban says, and again, this isn't the low level, this is lower than the other two. The Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo says, what is the ultimate motivation, that the base level motivation for serving God? What midah is the cornerstone of avodas Hashem, service of Hashem? The Ramban says it's hakaras hatov. Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher yitzicha me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am Hashem, your God, that took you out of the house of Egypt. Again, last week we had, but the pashup shot is because you owe me. You owe me. Created heaven and earth. Everyone owes me, right? But I took you out of Egypt. So now there's nu hakaras hatov. So the socher, the renter, understands, and I'm going to take care of it, but why? Because I want to get something for it. I'm getting something for it. I'm getting life. I'm getting the enjoyment. I'm getting all these pleasures. The lowest level is the shovel, the borrower, the one that wants to take this world, wants to enjoy this world. And, you know, because I'm enjoying this world, I guess I'm Jewish, I have to watch out for things. I mean, the Lubavitcher Rebbe says even the shovel is considered a shomer, and even though it's, meaning the shovel, the Gemara says, gets all the benefit. So therefore, there's the greatest responsibility. Meaning, the person that just totally, totally indulgent in this world. And yeah, he'll serve God on the side, you know. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, it's still a shomer. They're still doing a holy thing. There's still a great task involved. And not to diminish it, but he says, at the same time, the ideal is that the shoel should move up to the socher, should become the shomer socher, should become ultimately the shomer chino. But it's such a beautiful idea that we're all shomrim. We all have this responsibility that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave inside each and every one of us, this chelek elkam malmamish, this spark of God that we are responsible for. And if we're posheya, if we're negligent, and something would happen, the Rebbe has all other Torah, al kol devar pesha, al shor, al chamor, al salma, the Lubavitcher Rebbe says that there are four reasons why a person sins. They're Shor, Chamor, Seh, or Salma. I'll let you go figure that out. That's for another time. That's going to take us too far. But Mamash, the Torah is on everything here. Don't think we understand even the simple mitzvahs. This tremendous, tremendous depth, even in the simplest, simplest mitzvahs, this tremendous amkus. But this parsha, therefore, that's the chashivas of this parsha. The chashivas of this parsha, of Parshas Mishpatim, is teaching us of lo la'atzmecha nivreis. We have to understand that there's responsibilities in this world. That Judaism, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's geshmak. But it's about our obligations. And we'll go over that. I just wanted to end with really such a great Torah. There's a few famous Torah that I say all the time from Rav Shmuel Birnbaum, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Goldie Sirotkin's father, right? It was the Rashiv of the Mir. But Rabbi Eli Mansour, in a shir, he gave this week an idea, Sinsin, I think I know where maybe got it from, beautiful, different approach. We know in this week's parashas, of course, Nasa V'Nishma. Remember we spoke about Nasa V'Nishma last week, that you only Nishma, hearing is a deeper level of understanding. So first you have to do Torah, then you're going to be able to really understand Torah. But the famous question is that the Gemara in Shabbos Peches Amid Aleph tells us that B'tachtis Har, based on the Pasuk in last week's, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted up Har Sinai over Klal Yisrael, right? And said, basically coerced us to accept the Torah. That's why in Purim, can't get Shabbos Mevarchim this week, right? So you could already start talking about Purim. Kimu v'kibla ha'yituudim, kimu mash kiblu kfar. There was another Kabbalah Satorah b'zman Purim. Why did there have to be another Kabbalah Satorah? Because the Kabbalah Satorah of Har Sinai was coerced. The Shailas, how could it be coerced? Tosa says, how could it be coerced? What is the Gemara talking about? Nasa v'nishma. Klal Yisrael accepted it willingly. What does it mean, the coercion? So Tosus there in Shabbos says, no, you won't, you know in what way means it was coerced? Because Hashem brought this great fire, Klal Yisrael was afraid of the fire. They were backing off because of the fire. So that's why Hashem had to force them. Okay? So what's the question? The Marsha asks the question. So why did you need the fire? If God knew that Klal Yisrael was going to be scared by the fire, why did you need the fire? So Reb Shmuel Birnbaum answers in the way that only Reb Shmuel Birnbaum could, because Torah without fire is nish Torah. That's so Reb Shmuel Birnbaum. That Torah needs passion, it needs excitement, it needs it for it to be alive. But now there's a vart that goes so beautifully with that Reb Shmuel Birnbaum. This is such a beautiful Torah that Rabbi Mansur shares that's based upon something from the Sefer HaYashar that is Miyuchas, that's attributed to Rabbeinu Tam. Question, Rabbeinu Tam really wrote it. Someone else wrote it, but this is something Rav Volbi talks about in Alei Shor at length. That Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer HaYashar says that everyone goes through Yimei Or and Yimei Choshech. The world was created by Erev, by Voker, Yom Echad. It's natural that we experience times of darkness and times of light. Rav Volbi refers to it as Yimei Ahava, V'Yimei Sinah. Days we love serving God, days that we hate serving God. Just putting it out there. There are days that, you know what, I don't want to do this. I don't want to daven. I don't want to have to do X, Y, Z. I don't want to have to be careful what I say to another person. I don't want to have to think about these things. It's not always so pleasant. Serving God just isn't always so pleasant, especially what we're talking about now. It's all about responsibilities. It's all about, you know, the Gura in his Tzava wrote to his family from Maseches Chibat HaKever that when you get to the Bezin Shalmal, they're going to ask you, Hamlachta koncha, hamlachta chavercha. Did you make your creator your king? And did you make your friend your king? Meaning your friend is really, it's a serious thing what I'm telling you about responsibility. It's a deep Torah that we're here for others, responsible to others. I'll tell you, you know, it's what, you know, when I was learning in Gush, so, you know, I always thought that I was going to go into investment banking or currency trading or, venture capitalism was starting to become a thing then. And I thought that's what I was going to do. And it was really Reb Aaron Zatzal and Lahavdil ben Achayim L'Chayim, my madrich, Reb Menachem Liebtag, who really were mashpi on me. But from Rav Aaron, I really felt a responsibility to change the world. You have an achrayis through boner shalom. Your responsibility to God. You know, when I left Eretz Yisrael as a Rebbe in Reshit to come to Springfield, New Jersey, like I was living the ideal life. I lived in Beit Shemesh, had a pretty safe job in a great yeshiva in Israel, you know, pretty safe job, like, what's the deal? Why the heck? Because I felt that I had a responsibility. This is what the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted me to do. L'sakin olam bol malchus shaddai. It's not about me. And I remember asking Rav Moshe Wolfson, like, you know, being a Rebbe, being a Rebbe, maybe I should just sit in kollel all day. Like, I love learning. Like, maybe I should just sit and learn in kollel. So Rav Moshe Wolfson told me, beautiful vort, tzadik ha-tamar yifrach ke'erez balvan en yiske. The tamar tree, if you know, it's a low tree, but its branches and its leaves go very, very wide. You know this? Yeah, maybe. Your daughter Tamar is about to say, I hope, like, it's a small tree. So the afla, he says, in his aktam, it's tzadik ha-tamar yifrach ke'erez balvan en yiske. Rav Wolfson says that if you're having atzlach and reaching others, what does it mean that a tamar tree in this world looks short, but that's only because its leaves go very wide? You'll see in the Olam Amis, Ke'eres Balvanan Yiske. They'll be tall like the cedars of Lebanon. Those little tamar trees are really the tallest trees. And he told me, you have a responsibility. If you're having Atzlacha, this is what you should be doing. This is what Rav Wolfson felt. So understand that what I'm telling you is not just like lip service. This is really... This is the burden by which you live your life. You know what I'm saying? This is like a real thing. It's a real thing. This is what life is supposed to be about, chevra. So, Nasa v'nishma, Rabbi Mansur says another pshat. And again, Nasa v'nishma is right here. Parakav Dalet, Pasuk Zayin, Vayikach Sefer Bis, Vayikach Bazneam, Vayimu Kol Asher Dibar Hashem, Nasa v'nishma. Rabbi Mansur says he doesn't go to the Marsha, why was there the fire? But he says, you know what the fire represented? You know why Hashem had to hold the mountain over them? He said, the fire, the Yimei Ha'or, when a person's passionate for God, you're excited to serve God, this is it, this is awesome. So Pashut, when they see the fire, he says, Lapach, against Tosos. When they see the fire, Nasa v'nishma. Awesome, great. Problem is, what happens when the fire goes out? What happens when the fire isn't there? And you're not excited to serve God. And you're like, really, what am I doing this for? And that often happens. That often happens. It often happens, and that's when you need the mountain over you. You know, I told you before, right? You know, the nisayon that I think only a guy has when it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you start saying Kriya Shema Lamita, and you realize, oh God, I didn't daven Arvit yet. Like, the Shema, I didn't say this yet. Oh no, right? You want to get out of bed and daven Arvit, let's be honest. You know? You want to have to look for that kosher symbol when you're on vacation and the kids are starving and they're kvetching and they've had enough of the pretzels and the Coke and you're like, you want to give them something. You're like, no. You know, there are times that it's annoying. There are times that it's laborious and there are times that, yes, you might actually resent it. That's when you need the mountain. That's when you need the mountain to say that, you know what? Hashem's saying, you committed and this is the system that you're in. But look, Chas v'shalom, we don't mean to say that that's all of Torah Mitzvahs. Torah Mitzvahs is Geshmak. Torah Talmud Ru'u, Kitov Hashem, as we spoke about last week. Nasa v'nishma means when you do it, nishma, you'll come to appreciate it and you'll come to love it. But there are times, even when we say Nasa v'nishma, that there has to be a mountain over our heads. Because it's not easy. Because Eilam Shpatim Asher Tassim L'Fneim, it's about the responsibility of recognizing that it's not about you. It's not about you. Shkoyach.